Thank you, Lord. You know, while I was sitting there, it came to me. Praise hit different when you've been through something. I don't know if you heard that, but praise hits different when you've been through something. Your hand clap begins to be different. Your hallelujah begins to be different. Your thank you, Lord, is just a little bit different. Because praise hits different when you've been through something. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, truly the Lord is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Yeah, 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 yeah. I hear you, Lord. Yeah, it hits different when you've been through. Ooh. Yeah, your foot stump is different. Your dance is different. Your conversation is different. Your look is different. Your smile is different. Everything about you is different when you understand who God is and what He's doing for you. And it's just for you. It's not for anybody else at that moment, but especially for you. Hallelujah. Yeah, your praise hit different. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for this time to be before you. Lord, we thank you for what you're getting ready to feed us with in your word. Lord, I ask that you speak to us by your spirit and according to your word through truth. Liberate us today, heal us, set us free, and deliver us through the finished works of Christ. And let us be obedient with the things that you call in this day. Rebuke anything in the name of the Lord Jesus that is not of you. And we say, have total control and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to Bright Star Community Church. It's a pleasure to be before you. Just want to let you know, we are in the third week of our series called Established. We've been talking about how to be rooted and established in the love of God. Amen. The first week we talked about knowing God. Last week we talked about how to hear from God. And our pastor, he didn't finish, and he wanted me just to let you know that he's going to come back to that next week when he returns. And today I'm going to talk to you about talking with God. That simply means prayer. Prayer is communication with God. Again, prayer is communication with God. Life is about knowing God and walking with God. When you read your Bible, that's about being with God. When you pray, that's about being with God. A lot of us are intimidated by prayer. The question is asked, why? Because we have a misunderstanding of what it is, what God expects, and how it works. Y'all ready? So let's talk about the principles of prayer. I want to give you three big thoughts to help us and prepare us as we talk about prayer. Point number one. Amen. When you pray, focus on being with the Father. Notice the word with again. It's about being with God. When the Bible talks about prayer in the New Testament, it's not talking about a religious transaction. It's being involved in a loving relationship. When we, as Jesus followers, think about prayer, don't think about it as a religious transaction. Think about it as being with your Heavenly Father who loves you. If you ever wondered, where is the Lord's Prayer in the Bible? Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Here, Jesus is preaching a Sermon on the Mount. And he says, this is how you pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the first part of this verse, Jesus is going to teach us how to pray. Jesus starts and says, this then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Jesus says, when you pray, focus on the Father. Most of us have heard the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who's in heaven, then what? Hallowed be thy name. Does that sound familiar to you? Amen. Most of us know this, but when Jesus told the people to pray, our Father, it was shocking. In fact, for many of them, it was offensive. This kind of talk is one of the reasons why they arrested Jesus and then crucified him. Jesus, humanly speaking, was not crucified of what he did. He was crucified of who he said he was. He said, I'm the Son of God. I and the Father are one. Jesus is telling his followers, I'm a child of God. I'm the only begotten Son of God. I and the Father are one. Jesus is saying here, if you put your faith in me, you too can call God your Father and become his child. Amen. Up to this point, for these people, you wouldn't even say God's name because it was too holy. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of names for God, but the common name, the primary name for God in the Old Testament was Yahweh. Can y'all say that with me? Yahweh. Y'all better stop. Y'all release the Old Testament worship in here. When the scribes were writing the Old Testament, when they were supposed to write the name of God, they wouldn't because Yahweh was too holy to write. They would just put a symbol for the name of God. Now, all of a sudden, you have this son of a Jewish carpenter who is gaining prominence. A rabbi, and he calls God Father. More than that, he says, if you believe in me and trust in me, you too can become a child of God, and you too can call the Almighty, Most Holy One Daddy as well. Everybody was shocked. But for us, if you're a follower of Jesus, here's what Jesus is getting at. Prayer is not a religious transaction. It's a loving relationship between you and your heavenly Father. Now, when most of us think about a relationship with God, we don't think about it correctly. We don't think about it the way that Jesus taught. We don't understand what Jesus actually provided for us. In fact, most of the time, for most people, even if you come to church regularly, they have a misunderstanding of what it means to have a relationship with God. Most of us think that a relationship with God is all about our performance, and with that performance comes punishment and rewards. God is either going to punish me or he's going to reward me based off my scorecard for the week. Help us, Lord. You're like, oh, I did good this week. God's going to bless me with something now. That car I've been praying for, that house I've been praying for, that person I've been praying for, he's going to bless me now. Oh, I did bad this week. Uh-oh, watch that one. Something bad's going to happen. My car stopped working. They did layoffs. My knees start acting up. Jesus. But Jesus did not say, this then is how you should pray. Master, owner, now God is the master and owner, but he wants us to have a loving relationship with you. Like the father and child. Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our what? Our Father. When it comes to earthly fathers and sons, there is training. There is discipline. But it is not about punishment or reward, or at least it shouldn't be. It's about wanting to have a loving relationship with your sons so that they'll trust their father and prepare them for the days ahead. This is how our Heavenly Father loves us. He wants a trusting relationship with us. Amen. That's special. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Jesus says, when you pray, focus on the Father. It is not a religious transaction. For some of us, when we talk about God as Father, you really have a hard time with that because your earthly father was not that great. In the best case scenario, maybe your earthly father was performance oriented. I'll buy you some shoes. It is a punishment versus a reward, not a lot of love. Worst case scenario, it could have been your father did some terrible things to you. You know, as I was reviewing the reviews for, what is it, the DeBarge story, and thinking of that movie about the Jacksons, you know, there's so many different abuses or things that take place that people don't necessarily heal from. Some of it molestation, some of it violence and verbal abuse. I pray and decree that you be released if any of you are dealing with that right now in the name of Jesus. And it is so. Thank you, Lord. And it is so. Lord, we thank you because you are God and you love us. Thank you, Lord. If you have a challenge in calling God Father, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Call God what Jesus literally called him when he walked this earth. In Romans 8, you get what Jesus called God. Y'all ready? He called him Abba. One more time, Abba. Abba is an intimate term for father. It means daddy. But you don't have to call or you don't have to say father or daddy. You can just say Abba because my guess is you never called your earthly dad Abba. But when you think Abba, here's what you think. Think about everything that you wish your earthly father would have done. Your heavenly Abba loves you far beyond what you could ever ask or imagine. He cares for you and he wants this wondrous loving exchange with you. This is why Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. It is not about punishment and reward for those who are followers of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus took care of the punishment and reward on the cross. Jesus absorbed all the punishment that you and I deserve on the cross. He covered all sin for all time. Then 3 days later, he rose again, conquering death and hell and the grave. When you said yes to Jesus, he took on himself all the punishment that you deserved, and he imparted in you all of his rewards. I don't think y'all understand that. That's heaven and all, y'all. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loosen in heaven is loosened on earth. You got some power. Hallelujah. You got the reward. Everlasting and eternal life. You have the reward. You have forgiveness of all sin. You have the reward. You don't have baggage. You don't have turmoil. You don't have the trauma. It doesn't stay. You have the reward because Jesus took it for you and gave you his life. Thank you, Lord. This is good news of a great joy for all people. What God wants with you, your heavenly Abba, is a personal relationship. Be a child of God. Walk in the assurance. It's not a religious transaction. It's a loving exchange with your heavenly Father, your heavenly Abba. Here's point number two. Hey, man, yeah, they got it. This is a big one, okay? And this is one that I hold true to myself. And I think here at Bright Star Community Church, after being around and teaching in Bible class and serving you in different capacities, and, you know, we know how to be ourselves. That's what makes this assembly so special. We know how to be ourselves. So I'm just going to remind you, be yourself. What does that mean? It means to be honest. Don't try to fake it with God. For my bright star, keep it 100 with God. God knows who we are from the inside out. God knows the intent of our heart before we do the things we do. God knows our attitude and who we think we are in front of so-called friends. Social media included. Take the real picture. Take the real picture. That's what my meemaw says. Meemaw says, I don't know why they sitting there putting all that, knowing that they ain't got them bills paid, they ain't got that. Take the real picture. Amen. Hallelujah. We won't share it with them people, meemaw. God cannot have a relationship with who you're pretending to be because that person doesn't exist. You should just be yourself with God. Jesus taught that we're to become more like little children, not childish. That's immaturity. But we're to become more childlike. Realize that's how God created Adam and Eve. It's what it says. They were naked and unashamed. It is impossible for you to disappoint God as followers of Jesus. Disappointment is all about unmet expectation. Meaning when you're disappointed in somebody, you expected one thing and what? They did another. God knows all of your sin, what you have done, what you are going to do, and what you don't know about yet. God transcends time. But 2,000 years before you ever existed, God made a way for you through the person of Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, God provided his love for you in this. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Which means God knew all of your sins for all time and made a way for you in Jesus. You cannot disappoint a being that knows the future. Yet we're like, oh man, I messed up. Do you really think God is thinking, are you kidding me? I'm shocked. He knew that was coming. He made a way for you in Jesus, and the Bible actually teaches this to you and I as children of God. Look here. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, the second part of this verse, it says, clothe yourself, all you, with, what's the next word? Humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. To be proud, to be dishonest, to not be authentic is to be in opposition to God, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the who? The humble. Amen. I think y'all got that today in Jesus' name. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore. The biblical definition of humility is honesty. Pride is about pretending. Humility is about reality. It means not faking it. Get real. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Amen. The only way to experience the real love of God is to be encouraged enough to be real with who? Yourself. Be yourself when you talk to God. You can't play poker with God. He knows what's in your hand. Don't fake it. He can't love who you're pretending to be. That person doesn't exist. What's that say? That they say you got to know when to fold them. You got to. Here you go, Lord. Talk to him about your thoughts. Talk to him about your feelings. Express your gratitude, your joys, your frustration. He knows. He can handle it. Talk to him about everything. For some, this might be a word for you today. You need to have a Lieutenant Dan moment with God. In the movie Forrest Gump, when he climbs on the top of the shrimping boat, he's all mad at God because he lost his legs in the war. He has this moment in the storm. It's this exchange. It's relational. In that moment, Lieutenant Dan's not in a relation or a religious transaction. God, are you kidding me? This was not the plan for my life. I'm sure in that exchange, it's not in the movie, but God was like, well, oh, thank you, Jesus. You're not in charge of your life, Dan. I got bigger plans for you than you have, Dan. And so what do we see? The next day, what does Forrest Gump see? Dan's out swimming in the ocean. Forrest Gump says, I think he made peace with God. Be yourself with God. He loves you. Focus on the Father. It's a relational exchange if need be. Okay, but be yourself. You know, I had somebody ask me not too long ago. They said, how is it that you can talk to me and all these things you got going on, and you just sit there and you say you talk to God and you hear from me? And I said, because he made me. And he loves me. And y'all remember Wife and Kids, the show Wife and Kids? I remember when the wife looked at the husband and said, you can't handle all of this. Well, you got to have that realistic moment and say, God can handle all of this. Yeah. Amen. Here's point number three, and we're wrapping it up. Thank you, Jesus. Invite him into everything. For real folks, this is easy. For traditional church folks, well, anyway, invite him into everything. If you're like, oh, there's some things in my life God doesn't need to be involved in, well, let me just let you know on this. He's there, and you probably don't need to be doing that anyway. The reason he doesn't want you to do that is because he loves you. He's not trying to bum you out of life. He's not trying to zone you out. He's trying to bless you because he loves you. Invite him into everything. Even if something that he's not excited about, invite him in there so he can redeem, restore, help you repent, and heal you from it. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray all day as you go on your way. Now there are moments in your life where you need to get alone and focus in prayer. There are times for that. But the idea here in this passage of scripture is that you're praying all the time. You're like, do I bow my head and close my eyes and fold my hands all the time? No. In prayer, the posture of your body is not nearly as important as the posture of your heart. The idea here is you're involving God in everything. You're giving him your attention. You've got him on your mind at work, at home, when you go to school, and whatever is happening in your life. You pray all day as you go on your way. You don't have to have your eyes closed, especially if you're driving. You know, when I was younger, for the longest, I thought Mima was closing her eyes when we was praying, going to church. And I'm sitting there like, man, she powerful. She know God for real. We making it, her eyes closed. And then that's because my eyes was closed. Then when I finally looked up and seen, I said, she praying with her eyes open. That's how we made it to church. Amen. So, no, you don't have to have your eyes closed. You don't have to be on your knees. There are moments for that. But you don't have to do that. You can pray on a hike, for instance. If you're married, you can pray with your spouse. I'm not talking about just at dinner time. Pray at dinner too. But have time where you pray with your spouse. And I'm going to speak to the fellow single folks. Pray with whomever you're dating. Bring God in it. You want to stay safe and stay safe? Bring God in it. Amen. Amen. One of the things that you can do if you're still taking your kids to school is praying with your kids on the way to school. If you're the parents of a teenager, well, pray for your teenager whenever they let you. And when you pray for your teenager, put your hand on them. When you put your hand on somebody to pray for them biblically, that's a sign of blessing. Just put your hand on them and then pray. Pray all day as you go on your way. You want to make this a regular part of your life. You want to involve God in everything. Some of us have been in church a long time, and you're like, I know these things. If that's you, I'm like, I know you do. I'm so glad you know this, but are you doing it? I love you, but information will not change your life. The goal of our church service is not to be entertainment. The goal is we get God's information from his word and we practice it through application. Information with application also leads to transformation. I want to encourage you. These are some of the thoughts about prayer. Practice it. The more you do, the more you'll know your heavenly Father, your heavenly Abba. The more you'll be rooted and established in his love. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to ask that we stand. Amen. Let's pray together. It's right there on the screen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's give God a praise.